and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimite, and I'm here with my good friend and brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
Hello.
What's up, Patrick? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Oh, it's gonna
I'm
be a,
Holy Spirit.
It's going to be a great day, great show. Today, we have on the show with us Nick Frank. He's a passionate missionary who's laboring in the kingdom of the Lord, and he's just working so hard to allow young people to come to worship the name of Jesus, which is beautiful. So we're going to hear from Nick later, but before we do that, why don't we just open in prayer?
Let's pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul spoke to Timothy. He said these words, "Let no one have contempt for your youth, but set an example for those who believe in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity." Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray a blessing upon everyone that has been an example to us in love, conduct, speech, faith, and purity in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the way that you've used our guest today, Nick, to be an example to many of the young people in our church, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would raise up more examples in this world, more people that would be that example, that shining light in the darkness. We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And Lord, we just pray that you continue to pour out a spirit upon our tongues today, that you would improve our speech, that even as adults that we would have a speech likened to you, that our words would be molded into your words. We pray that our conduct would be molded into your conduct, Lord, that we would love like you love, give like you give, serve like you serve. Lord, we pray for our purity, that we would have a purity that is like your purity. You say, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." And Lord, we want to see you. I want to see your face. We want to know who you are. And so make us pure so that we can see your face, not only in heaven, but right here, right now, Lord. We want to see you more clearly, hear your words more clearly, know you more deeply. Lord, give us holiness in speech, holiness in conduct, love and purity. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to be hearing from Nick Frank later, and I think his story is going to share with us a little bit how an ordinary conversion process can actually lead to an extraordinary mission. Mm. That I think a lot of times, Patrick, we assume that our ordinary lives aren't going to result in an extraordinary mission. And what the Lord wants us do is work within the ordinary. It's actually in the ordinary that the extraordinary comes. And so I want to start us with just reflecting on some words from Pope Paul VI. He was a pope back in the early 70s, and he wrote an encyclical called Evangelization in the Modern World. And he said, "For the church, the first means of evangelization is the witness of an authentically Christian life. The first means of evangelization is the witness of an authentically Christian life." And then he went on to say, "Modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. And if he does listen to teachers, it is because they are witnesses." Mm. And, you know, I think a lot of times we can fall prey to just thinking that we have to pass on the faith to our young people and we have to teach them what we believe as Catholics. And even almost to the point where we're stressing all of the Catholic teachings, but we're forgetting to teach what it means to be Christian. And we're forgetting to teach who is this Christ that we follow. And I know even in my own upbringing, when I think back to my religious ed classes, a lot of what comes to mind is the, if you will, a lot of the Catholic things, but not much of the Christ. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. It's like where there's us and we need to protect the tribe, right? Because it's being attacked so much. And there's true, like we need sound doctrine, okay? But it cannot be at the expense of, crucifying other Christians, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it can't be at the expense of teaching the basic gospel message as well. Mm-hmm. So we as Catholics, I often say that, you know, we've got this like heavy load because I think about our Christian brothers and sisters and they've got the Bible, right? And they just need to study the Bible. And then I look at myself and I'm like, well, darn, I need to look at the Bible and I need to like study the catechism. I need to study the lives of the saints and all of the encyclicals. And I'm like, I got too much to read. I can't get it all done, right? And so I think sometimes we can because we have such an abundance and that God has revealed the church so much truth and value, we can sometimes forget the basic teaching of who Jesus is and the value of just being a Christian witness. As Paul the Sixth said, evangelization is the witness of an authentically Christian life. So what does an authentically Christian life look like? And who is this Christ that we are called to follow? How can we imitate his speech, his conduct, his love, his purity? Who is this Jesus? And, you know, I was talking to someone the other day. His name was Tim. And Tim, he was sharing with me his story about how he had left the Catholic faith. And I was asking Tim, well, why did you leave the church? And this isn't the kind of situation where Tim like left the church and is now like getting trashed all the time and in an impure relationship. Actually, Tim is a radically holy Christian man. Mm-hmm. He's praying every day. He's living life well. He's reaching out to young people and really evangelizing in the non-denominational world. So I was intrigued. Tim, why did you leave the church? Because, you know, Tim could have been one of our priests, right? Mm-hmm. Tim could have been a youth minister for the Catholic Church. And as he was sharing his story, he was sharing about how the entire time he grew up going to Catholic PSR classes and sacramental prep, he learned everything about Catholicism. And he said, I knew every Bible story. I could tell you all of the teachings of the church and recite any list that you asked me to memorize and recite. I knew it all, but I had never really understood the why behind it. So I had all this education, but when push came to shove, I kept asking people, but why? And he said, finally, he went through all of his sacraments and he got confirmed as an eighth grader. And his school of religion just kind of stopped at that point. So he thought he was done. He had graduated, if you will, from his religious education. And so in high school, he kind of just kept going to mass with his family. And it was a non-denominational Christian who invited him to a summer camp. And at this summer camp, he had for the first time, he said, for the first time, I heard the gospel. And it was a non-denominational summer camp where he heard the gospel for the first time in his life. And he realized in the witness of the other people at the camp what it meant to be a Christian. Hmm. He said, I thought for the first time in my life, I actually saw Christianity. It wasn't just teachings, but I actually saw it where the witness of these other men and women, their joy, their authenticity, their passion and their realness with Jesus for the first time really captivated my heart.
Wait, so you're saying that my witness can lead to someone's encounter with Jesus?
Whoa! Well, that's a powerful thing. So what happened was, and I don't know if this is true or not, but for this young man, he had never seen an authentic witness in his Catholic upbringing. It's someone who was on fire and passionate for Christianity, where when he was learning the faith, he was learning teachings and not learning a person.
Yeah, I was at a parish I used to minister at. I was talking with some on the staff, and they said, "Yeah, the problem is like the older generation, you know, my generation, the post baby boomer people, they never learned the Catholic faith, and now they stop going to mass." And I said, "So what do we need to do?" And they're like, "Well, we just need to teach them why." And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I think they know kind of the story, all right? I just don't think that they've ever encountered God. I don't think they've actually had that witness. That maybe it's that encounter of the person of Jesus that gives the why.
Yeah.
That's planted in the witness, and that through the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of that. So we gave them teaching. Now we need to teach them the why. Well, how are we going to teach them the why? More teaching. And it's like,
when it's all about a person, right? And this is exactly what Paul the Sixth is saying. For the church, the first means of evangelization is the witness of an authentically Christian life. Modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. And if he does listen to teachers, it is because they are witnesses. So we can't underestimate the power of a witness. Why? Because Jesus Christ is a person. So to be Catholic is an intensely personal reality where I encounter a person and I have a relationship with a person. So it makes sense. You know, Patrick, how did you first come to encounter my wife?
I met her through you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we encounter other people through the people who are close to them, right? And so Patrick's encounter with my wife is going to be shaped by the way I present my wife and by the way the relationship I have with my wife. And so if I don't know my wife, and if I don't know, if I'm not passionately in love with her, then Patrick's encounter with her is going to be dull and it's going to lack something. And I think a lot of times that's what we're doing with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Can I talk a little bit about like the purpose, like our purpose for life?
Heck yeah.
I feel like I've, you know, we can go and hear so many amazing priests and speakers and, you know, even on Catholic radio, you hear these stories and there's like this desire that, man, I want to be like him. I want to be like him. You know, or I'm living for God now, but like I never had this crazy, conversion where I was selling drugs and, you know, killing people. And now I'm like, you know, serving the Lord and killing sin. Like that didn't happen with me. And, you know, do you ever get that sense that we can build that up in the church? These, sensationalized stories?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the more glamorous our testimony, sometimes we can think that then I can work for Jesus. You know?
I've even got the sense from some kids in youth ministry that like they need to like go off and do a bunch of sins so they can come back with an amazing testimony.
Or the temptation to exaggerate their testimony where it's like, oh yeah, and then I hated the Lord. And I'm like, wait, no, you didn't.
Shut up. Okay. So, but here's the thing. When you encounter Jesus, okay, that leads you to know God's purpose for your life. And I believe that if you know God's purpose for your life, you would never want to be anyone else but who God made you. Mm. You would know how much he loves you and you would love yourself. You would see the destiny that he's put in front of you and you would never want to be like anyone else. And in the world, you get the same thing with celebrity worship, right? Mm. And people, they want to be like the whatever, you know, name your favorite celebrity out there. In the Christian life, we can do that if we've never encountered Christ. And once we encounter him, he reveals, like in that encounter, I believe he reveals like the great purpose for your life. And for me, like I first encountered Jesus through a supernatural, you know, encounter in the Eucharist at a worship event that I got kind of forced to go to. And it's in that that I find my purpose of leading other young people to that encounter, right? And our listeners can check out encounterradio.org and find out about the ministry that you and I help run here in Columbus, Encounter Columbus. But in the same way, like once we know God's purpose for our life, we would never want to be anyone else. And we would love what he's done and doing in our life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what we want to do is really help people see the value of a Christian witness, that when my life is conformed to Christ, people can actually encounter Christ in me. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens, I guess what I would challenge ourselves, Patrick, you and I, and all of our listeners, is does your life and does our life blend in to the rest of the world, right? What sets us apart? Are we living and acting and breathing and speaking? And when people encounter us, do they encounter Christianity? Because Christianity is countercultural. It's radical, it's alive, and it's passionate. When they encounter us, do they encounter Jesus? And if we're not praying daily and begging Jesus to mold us into who he is as a person, people probably aren't going to encounter Christ through us.
Amen. And I feel like what happened in the gospel, I want to talk about Paul and Timothy, that like... we need people in our lives that lead us to Christ, that help form that, that discipleship within us. And 1st and 2nd Timothy is simply letters of discipleship. They're training in discipleship for, you know, one of Paul's converts, a guy named Timothy, a young man who Paul, at one point, he calls him his son, that like Paul saw himself as a spiritual father to Timothy, and Timothy was his spiritual son. And I think about how we call our pastors father, but even anyone that we bring into a supernatural faith in Jesus Christ, we become like spiritual parents to them. And we can't just leave them at that encounter, at that conversion experience. We need to bring them in. And Paul writes to Timothy, and he continues to reveal, exhort, and encourage Timothy. And one of my favorite scripture passages here is 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. And on, it says, "For this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but of power, love, and sound mind. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. And I believe that every Catholic, every Christian, every person of faith that's listening to this can think, who was the Paul in my life? Who was the person that led me to the Lord? Who are the people that helped form me and encourage me and call me on? Who saw the gift that God placed inside of me? Who called that out in prayer? And then who asked me to stir into flame the power I received, the power of Pentecost, right, that we all share, of love that holds that together with a sound mind. So today when we hear from Nick, I know that part of his story is a coach, right?
Yeah.
That played that role for him, and how he's doing that as well in his ministry.
So I want to really, as we listen to Nick's story in the next part of the show, I want us to ask ourselves, what are the spheres of influence in my life? Who can I impact in my life? Who can I disciple? Who are the Timothys that God has given me, right? And I was at a parish mission this past weekend speaking to this awesome parish with a lot of dynamic people. And during one of the breaks, a woman came up to me and she said, you know, Dan, I love what you're saying. I love how you're calling us to go out and evangelize. And I've got these girls on a swimming team that I coach. And I know I'm making a difference in their life when it comes to like helping them become better athletes, but I don't feel like I'm able to make a difference in their life through coaching, right? That like their spiritual life isn't really being changed through my coaching. And I think that's how a lot of us feel, right? We've got these spheres of influence. So I've got these kids that I have on a coach, or I'm teaching this PSR class, or I've got my own children at home that I'm raising. Am I really discipling them? Well, Patrick, what would you have said to that woman?
I would have said, you know, I'll give you counsel, and it's talk to Holy Spirit, all right? I would have taught her how to pray. You know, I would have taught her how to enter in. And I always teach people in these situations to ask the Holy Spirit very specific questions. And the first things they come back to them, either in kind of that voice in their head or images or just a sense, whatever they receive kind of like right from that is the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And, you know, I would have, you know, pray with them right on the spot. All right, let's ask Holy Spirit, you know, and then boom. And then right at that point, they're receiving revelation because they have the spirit of Pentecost, you know, flowing through them. They have that spirit that Peter had to go convert 3,000 people after he received it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even some of us who are in these positions of leadership, we need to be reminded of what Paul said to Timothy. For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have received through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So we've got the spirit of power, right? We've got the spirit of love. And when we look into our own lives and our own spheres of influence, if we're not seeing a powerful, dynamic influence happening, I think it's probably because we're relying on our own strength. Amen. And not on the strength of the power of
the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we can't do it in the flesh.
And so let's, before we take a break, let's just turn to prayer, and we're going to ask the Lord to enlighten our minds during the show. Just like you said, Patrick, let's call the Holy Spirit to teach us enter into our sphere of influence and change people's lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that right now you enter into our minds and all of our listeners' minds and give them a vision for what it is that you desire for them, Lord. We pray that you would allow them to know the people that you have placed in their life that they are called to influence and to teach them how to influence. Lord, I pray against a spirit of self-reliance, and I pray that we would become spirit-led evangelizers who through our witness and our words are able to radically change people's lives, that we set their lives on a new direction and that their eyes are focused on a new priority, a new name, the name of Jesus Christ.
Father, I just pray for that you put a vision in each person's mind of the person that you want them to evangelize to today. So, Father, we just release visions upon our listeners in Jesus' name. We pray that you convict us of who you want us to minister to pray to today. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm here with Dan Demite. And when we come back, we will have Nick Frank joined us to hear his testimony. Thanks, and God bless.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. I'm Dan Dimite, and I'm here with my good brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
Hello.
Today, we are welcoming to the show Nick Frank. So Nick is a missionary in the United States. He's married and has a child. Nick, how the heck can you be a missionary and be married with a kid in the United States? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's a great question, Dan. First, just thanks for having me here, guys. It's an honor, it's humbling to be here. But yeah, so I work with a non-for-profit organization called Adore Ministries. It's based out of Houston, Texas. And what we desire to do, me and the other Adore missionaries that are all around the country, we really seek to serve the underserved and the under-resourced. And the reason we're here in America, a lot of times when I was growing up, I would think of missionary as the people in Africa or Russia or wherever else in the world. You have to go far away. But when JP2 really coined the new evangelization, I think he started stirring within a lot of people here, clergy, lay faithful, that we also needed to be evangelized. And so what we try to do in Adore is just to live out the Catholic faith in areas around the country, to build up the communal life. When Jesus said, go and love your neighbor, we really think that he meant that. That neighbor wasn't like a metaphor or a symbol or anything like that, that it was real, that we have to love the people that God brings into our lives. Because if we can make neighbor like a metaphor, then I think it's too easy to make what love looks like a metaphor. And so we really just seek to live out the gospel through the mission of our baptism. You guys were talking a little earlier about our ordinary lives leading to extraordinary mission. And what we hope to do in Adore Ministries is bring those two things together, that extraordinary mission or extraordinary lifestyle or Christian living is just ordinary gospel. Like, that is what God calls us to. And I would hope someday that there's no longer a need for Adore Ministries or youth ministry or anything like that, because the church, the lay faithful, have just owned into what we're all called to be as priest, prophet, and king, and just love and serve the kingdom with everything we have.
Heck yeah, so, brother.
Oh, bring it.
So that's what we try to do as this non-for-profit, that we go into under-resourced areas. I'm in Rockford, Illinois right now, one of the kind of more impoverished cities in the country. It kind of boomed back in the 90s, and then a lot of factories just kind of closed down with the recession. And, so it's a typical Midwest blue-collar town that I love, has its good parts, bad parts. I actually work in a part of Rockford called Love's Park, which just like last month was designated the most drunk city in the country based on like number of slot machines and divorces and bars in the area. So we have our work cut out for us here in the Rockford Love's Park area. But again, it's just living out our baptismal mission and loving people the way that Christ has called us to love and to serve. So,
heck yeah.
That's what we do.
You know, and Nick's not the only missionary, right? Every single listener right now, you are a missionary, and whatever you do, that's your mission field. And so if you're a doctor, you are a missionary in your field. Teacher, you are a missionary in your field. Whatever you are a missionary there, and that's your mission field. So, whatever your ordinary story is, bring that to the people in your life, right? So that's your sphere of influence. Influence people now. So Nick, we were talking yesterday, and you were saying how you used to feel like you didn't really have much of a story to tell because you didn't have this powerful, like crazy, like extraordinary testimony. But your ordinary testimony is actually identifying it and changing people's lives. So would you mind just sharing with us how you came to encounter the Lord?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, you know, I live in Illinois now, but I'm from Ohio, just Northwest Ohio, a small town. And I think I had just a pretty normal Midwest upbringing. Born into a Catholic family, I have a brother, I have a sister. We would go to Mass on Sundays. We went to the local Catholic school. But it was always just a cultural experience for me. It was more something of what we did as a family rather than who we were or even what we believed. And I remember kind of growing up praying at night. My parents would make me pray, and I didn't really understand the fullness of prayer, the communication with God, or what I was even doing. So I remember praying at night with my mom or dad, who was ever putting me to bed as a kid. I'm just praying that my parents would never die and that my lost cat would come home. And so very, very superficial prayer.
Did the cat ever come home?
Probably, but you know, it was a dumb cat. So God answers even the silliest of prayers. But you know, I went through, you know, Catholic school and I liked religion class just fine, but it was just a class and I didn't hate going to church, but I think I was just a normal kid. I didn't understand how to participate. I didn't understand the beauty. I didn't understand the holiness and the solemnity of what I was experiencing. And so I just kind of went through life, just a typical Midwest life, playing sports, hanging out with friends, and doing the church thing on Sundays. And I think that was where my life was headed. I don't know if and what I had experienced as a kid, if anything would have pulled me out of that routine. Just looking back, it was just normal. It was comfortable. And I think that that's kind of where the danger of being in a privileged first world country is that we're comfortable. And I think that that comfort kind of had infiltrated my life, even into my faith and into what I believe and how I live that out. And so it wasn't until I was in high school, again, Catholic school, religion class, you know, and again, I think from what I've experienced, a quote-unquote normal Catholic school, and I love Catholic schools, but education and sports was more the priority than forming disciples. And really thankful for my Catholic education. I'm not bashing that. It's just where I was in the moment and probably wasn't receiving the fullness that the school was trying to give me and the religion department was trying to give me. But when I was a sophomore, I found myself starting to just ask questions that I think most teenagers start to ask themselves if they're trying to transition into adulthood or young adulthood. Just, you know, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? Who do I want to be? All these things. And it was really through my religion teacher my sophomore year, who was also my soccer coach, who started to challenge me away from the comfort of my cultural Catholicism and bring me into the reality of what God calls us to, into that relationship, into living our faith, into being fully Catholic. And he would just start challenging me, just asking me a lot of those same questions, like what do you believe? Like, what, who do you want to be? And it was through my soccer coach, you know, being with him day in and day out on the field, you know, like working hard, sweating, competing, that I saw in him something different than I'd experienced in other people, that it was in his life, what he believed and what he lived in the Catholic faith was way different than what I lived out, that he actually had this relationship, that everything that I had learned in Catholic school and in the Mass and sacramental prep and all that stuff, it wasn't just head knowledge to him. It was relationship. It was life. It was who he was, and it really challenged me. And I didn't necessarily understand it at first, but I was attracted to it. Like I saw him live out this faith. I saw him live for something more than himself, and it was resonating within me. And it wasn't until our conversations kind of went from what I was seeking to who I was seeking, and to him helping me connect the deeper desires of my heart to the desires of Christ for me, that all of a sudden everything I had learned, you know, growing up about the faith was no longer just head knowledge, but it was something that was to be lived, and it connected my head to my heart and gave me a way to live, a purpose. And I think that without him in my life, I would probably still just kind of be that a Sunday Catholic, you know, kind of believing what I want to believe and not thinking about the things that I struggled with or that challenged me in my faith. I just would leave those things aside like I did in high school. But through his witness, all of a sudden, everything that I had heard was no longer just kind of like sporadic information or sporadic thoughts. It all made sense, and it connected the deepest desires in my heart. And I think, Patrick, it was you who said earlier, I love this, if we encounter God's love for us, we wouldn't want to be anyone else. And that's exactly what happened to me my sophomore and junior year in high school, was that once I knew that everything I had learned and experienced as, when I was younger, like, was actually for, had a purpose and a meaning and brought fulfillment and happiness and love and gave me a mission, like, how could I walk away from that? And so it was a very gradual thing throughout high school that, you know, my prayers just got a little bit more intentional, and my time with God became more intentional, and I started going to Mass more and frequenting the sacraments more and praying more. And then, like, things outside of my own faith, it started to bleed into everything else in my life. Like, I remember, like, breaking all of my CDs. We used to listen to these things called compact discs where you put them in a boombox. We don't have those anymore. But I remember breaking a lot of my CDs because I just knew they weren't edifying. I was putting this garbage music in my head and in my heart. And I remember breaking all those CDs. I remember the moment I decided I had to, like, stop cheating my way through school, and all my grades plummeted. But even though my grades were falling, and then I was no longer on honor roll, I was happier, you know, getting C's than I was when I was cheating my way with A's and B's. So, yeah, it just gave me a purpose. And that purpose led me to Franciscan University, where I studied theology, and led me into youth ministry, where I've been serving the youth and the church for 9 years now, in Texas and Louisiana, and now in Illinois. So it's been a wild ride, and I've loved every moment of it. It's had its ups and downs, but the Lord has been present, and it's beautiful to know that I'm never alone. You know, that there's always a place in those downs, but the down, when you have the Lord with you, you can always run to the chapel, you can run to the priest, you can run and just hold your scripture and hold it close, and find your comfort and know that God's promise and reassurance is always with us.
Praise the Lord. So, yeah. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Dan Dimitain. We're talking to Nick Frank about how he encountered the Lord through the witness of his soccer coach growing up, a teacher and coach in his own life, and how that authentic Christian witness led him into an authentic Christian life. Nick, some of the things that you were saying that really stuck out to me were the fact that as you were going through your conversion process, it wasn't just coming to know Jesus, but it was weeding out the things in your life that weren't of the Lord. So you broke your CDs, right? And I think that's actually a really good, tangible sign of conversion, that you broke away from the sin of your past, and it was that renewal of your mind that you were having, that you weren't going to listen to and fill your body with the impure things of the world anymore, but you were seeking a deeper purity, which is great. Did you know, when you were once you were having that conversion process and you were starting to become more of a witness of Jesus Christ in your own Christian life, did you see people starting to come to the Lord through you?
Yeah, you know, what was amazing, even in high school, is, you know, and I, again, I was young. I was 15, 16, 17 years old, and just, you know, figuring things out, young and uninhibited, and just trying to love the Lord. And me and my brother were kind of going through this at the same time, just kind of receiving this grace from the
Lord.
Wait,
how old's your brother, Nick?
So my brother, we're actually twins. So he's 15 minutes. He acts like he's 15 years, but he's only 15 minutes older than me. So we were kind of just going through this together. You know, he had the same religion teacher, the same coach, and really had some of the same experiences that I had with him. And as my brother and I started responding and making some of these practical changes in our lives and wanting to go to Mass and reading Scripture more, my parents saw that, and they got curious. And, you know, as we started wanting to go to retreats and different conference opportunities, they also wanted to do that. They didn't want to be left behind. They wanted to be able to engage us and walk with us. And so my parents got more into the faith, and then my younger sister got more into the faith. So really my whole family kind of grew into this relationship with God and this deeper understanding of what it meant to be Catholic together throughout our high school year. So as I was influencing my soccer coach, I think my parents saw that influence and were also touched, and then my sister was touched. So it was just kind of like this ripple effect to my own family, even in high school. And even just the other, I had an experience this summer that one of my friends came up to me in high school and or he came up to me this summer and just said how he thanked me for my witness in high school. And I would have had no idea that I was an influence in this man's life in high school because of, he was a great kid. I thought he knew the Lord too. And he just said that it was that witness, even in as a youngster, that continued to challenge him to get to know the Lord, the fruits of the Spirit that he saw, the joy and the peace as I started to just rest in the Lord, really brought him to a deeper understanding that there was something more in the faith. And even, you know, in the ministry now, as I just walk with kids, just seeing how the Lord moves in the little things. You know, sometimes as a youth minister or missionary, I can try to do, like, big events and huge things, and I think, oh, man, if I get this big event right, or if, like, the light turns off at the right time, or this, like, does something really cool, then the kid is going to, like, get to know the Lord. But more times than not, I'm realizing after, you know, 8-9 years in ministry, it's in the small things, and it's in the conversations and the ordinary, like, ins and outs of life that I'm able to help kids encounter the Lord.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Encounter, a production from St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Dan Dimitay. I'm here with Patrick Rice, and we're talking to Nick Frank about his life-changing encounter, and it was a simple encounter. It was encountering an authentic Christian witness, and that person witnessing the life of Jesus Christ, challenging Nick to look at his own life and to change his life to conform to the gospel as well. You know, Nick, Pope Paul VI, we started with his quote earlier in the show. He said, for the church, the first means of evangelization is the witness of an authentically Christian life. Modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. And if he does listen to teachers, it's because they are witnesses. But then he goes on, secondly, we have to emphasize the necessity of preaching, that once we're witnesses, we also want to preach the name of Jesus, so that there's a difference. What is the cause of your joy? The cause of your joy isn't that you're a happy person. It's not that you drink a lot of coffee in the morning. The cause of your joy has a name and a face, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Preach it, Dan.
And so, Nick, I'm just curious. Did your teacher also, at some point, as he was witnessing to you, show you or speak to you the name of Jesus? What was that connection? How did you jump from, okay, this is a cool guy who really has a joyful life, to this is a Christian man who I want to imitate?
Yeah, so this is kind of a crazy story. So he was like, everyone always knew as the religion teacher, when he would pray, that there was something different about him, that he really meant it. He wasn't just going through the motions because of the Catholic school. So everyone knew that he really loved God. But in my own life, the jump kind of happened. So my brother and I, and then a bunch of us, we were just typical rowdy boys in high school, and so we would get detentions too often. And so I remember we would get detentions in his religion class. Just not too bad, but I remember we would get detentions during soccer season. It would be great because he'd be like, "All right, Nick, Chris, and so and so, detention after school." And so we would come to detention, and he would show us videos of Pele and of, like, great soccer matches. And so it was the best attention in the world. And so we would just enjoy it, and that probably didn't encourage us to have good behavior in class because we actually enjoyed our time with them, our detention, watching soccer highlights and all this stuff. And so, but after soccer season, I remember there was a change because we got a detention thinking that we were going to come and get to watch soccer highlights and talk sports. And he opened up scripture. Like, there's no more videos. They're just like, all right, guys, like, there's no time for this anymore. And let's talk about, what are you doing? You know, like, who do you want to be? And as we started answering those questions, he would bring Christ into our answers. He'd bring Christ into our hearts and challenge us into living for purpose and meaning. And so it was a transition. He kind of came in through our door of sports and hooked us with sports. And then we all left through his door, through his witness, and introducing us to Christ.
Wow, that's awesome. That is beautiful. And that's exactly just what a great testimony of a Christian witness influencing people, you know, meeting us where we're at and then drawing us deeper into real and authentic life. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Dan Dimitay. We're going to be right back after a short break to wrap up and talk about how we can be greater witnesses in our own lives. Welcome back to Encounter. I'm Dan Demite here with Patrick Rice, and we are talking to Nick Frank, a missionary here in the United States who serves the young church. Nick just shared with us his life-changing encounter as a sophomore in high school when his soccer coach and teacher really was an authentic witness of the Christian life to him and led him to a deeper encounter with Jesus Christ. Nick, thank you so much for sharing your story. I think that just really encourages a lot of our listeners to be more authentic witnesses and to bring people into an encounter with Jesus Christ through their lives. Now that you are striving to be a missionary, do you have any like stories of you working with young people and really challenging them to give their lives over to the Lord that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, one of my greatest desire in ministry is to just work with kids. I think a lot of times in youth ministry, which is what I primarily do, it's very easy just to sit in your office or behind a desk and plan a night. But I'm out in the schools or with kids or in neighborhoods or on basketball courts every day trying to encounter new kids. If I'm in the office more than 20 hours a week, I don't think I'm doing a good job as a minister, as a missionary to bring the gospel out into the world. And one experience I had a few years ago has stuck with me. And I was meeting this kid, this young man, public school kid, pretty active in youth group, but needed to make that jump in his heart to really love the Lord. And so we'd meet every week at Starbucks, and you know, I'd grab him a coffee, and we'd just talk about school, we'd talk about life, and I would try to make that transition with him to really go deeper in this relationship with the Lord. And I remember one day he came in, and I could tell there was a chip on his shoulder, and we sat down, and before I could even say anything, he just went off on me. I know his parents were having a hard time, and I think school was good. I think he was having a hard time in his relationship with his girlfriend, and he just started cursing me out in Starbucks. He started cursing God, dropping the F-bomb, dropping every other four-letter word that you can think of, and that he didn't care about me, he didn't care about God, you know, for a good 5-10 minutes, just bleeping word after bleeping word and just crying. He just had enough, and after he had got it all out, you know, I just sat there and I listened to him and let him speak and be broken in front of me. And after he was fully done, just exhausted, I just leaned close to him and I said, "Hey, can we pray?" And I think that shocked him. I think he was just like, why the heck would you want to pray with me? I just I didn't care about you or your God anymore. And but he looked at me and he said, "Okay." And so we prayed. We prayed right there in Starbucks. And put my hand on him, and I called on the Holy Spirit. I called for consolation and peace and healing. And I just said, "Hey, I still love you, and God still loves you. And I understand things are hard right now, but I'm not going anywhere, and neither is God." And so, you know, we kind of had some small talk, but it was kind of an awkward meeting with him because he had cursed me out for, you wow. know, 5-10 minutes. And then I said, "All right, I'll see you next week, right? I'm not giving up." And he nodded. And we came back the next week, and he looked at me. He said, "Hey, can we start reading scripture together during this time every week?"
Dude, so basically, so, you turn into Paul. You like laid hands on him and stirred up the Holy Spirit, and then there's just some awesome response of power, love, and sound mind come over him.
Praise the Lord. And I think, you know, Nick, what happened there in that story, I think, is what one of the steps that we often forget about as Christians, where we forget to, we may say, "Oh, I'll pray for you," or we may pray for the person, which is really good and valuable. But I think what the human person is longing for right now in our modern age is for someone to pray with them.
Yeah.
To actually ask them, "Can I pray for you? Can I suffer with you?" What does Jesus do when He doesn't fix all of our problems from above. He becomes man, right? He enters into our brokenness. He enters into our lowliness. He becomes broken with us. And that's exactly what praying with the person is saying. "Listen, I'm going to enter into your brokenness with you right now. And I'm going to lay my hands on you. And I'm going to ask for the Lord to come and heal you, even in the darkest minutes of your life."
Yeah. So, Nick, how can people learn about Adore Ministries?
Great question. We have a great website. We try to update adoreministries.com. You can find out about a little bit about our missions, about some of our events. Again, we're hubbed out of Houston, Texas. There's a lot going on in Houston. But also just find us on social media. We're really active on Instagram. We've kind of coined a hashtag, Life of Joy. And so a lot of us will kind of share our life with that hashtag. And, of course, that's kind of generic. So we get other people on there as well. But Instagram, Facebook, but adoreministries.com will tell a little bit more of who we are and connect you to some of our missionaries.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Nick, for being on the show. You are a great apostolic witness to all of us. Keep doing what you're doing for the Lord. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just want to... challenge all of us today to respond to the words that Nick shared with us, that we are called to be witnesses and to preach the name of Jesus, to enter into people's lives and connect with them. And then once we connect with them on a human level, to connect with them on a spiritual level as well, so that we can help them dive into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to really challenge us to think today, who are the people in my life that I can really witness to? Where is my sphere of influence? Am I a coach? Am I a teacher? Am I a parent? Am I what am I involved in? Is it my coworkers? Is that my sphere of influence? Am I a boss and I have people under me? Who can I witness to? And then ask the Lord, how can I witness to them? So the who and the how. And if you ask the Lord that question, he will give you an answer. He'll open doors and avenues for you really to witness to the gospel in extraordinary ways in the ordinary lives of people. You'll be a life changer, and you'll start living a life that changes lives as opposed to living a life of mediocrity or complacency.
Yeah, Dan, one of the things that just blew me away from Nick's encounter, his conversion in high school, was that when he got the gospel, when he understood like who Jesus was and what this life is, there's a temptation to incorporate Jesus as a part of my life. But like the gospel's never about just incorporating Jesus to become a part of my life. The gospel is about surrender to Jesus all of my life. And when he broke the CDs, right? Okay, that was like an act of surrender. That it's not going to be Jesus over here on this part and then my whatever I'm listening to that doesn't glorify God and leads me away from him over here. He surrendered, and then he if that caused him to sin, he cut it off, and he did that. So I think that one of the calls, there's people out there, I believe, that have incorporated Jesus as part of their life, and he's actually calling you to surrender all of your life. And I think that that sounds really more complicated than it needs to be. And I think all we need to do is turn to Mary. And Mary, you know, she had that opportunity. The angel comes to her and like asks her, like, you know, basically, will you take this on? And her response was nothing less than surrender. Let it be done to me according to your word. So like, Lord, let it be done to me. I surrender my life to you. So giving God permission is really all is that first step that we need. So let's just pray right now. Anyone that needs to, who's incorporated Jesus as part of their life, but needs to surrender their life completely to the Lord. Let's just lead our listeners in a prayer of surrender. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Jesus.
So we just pray, like, you can just repeat after me wherever you are right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I thank you for sending Jesus.
I thank you for sending Jesus.
To die for me.
To die for me.
To rise for me.
To rise for me.
I give all of my life.
I give all of my life.
To Jesus.
To Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Take away all in my life that is not from you.
Take away all in my life that is not from you.
Convict me of all the areas that need to be cut out from my life.
Convict me of all the areas that need to be cut out from my life.
I give you complete permission to work in my life.
I give you complete permission to work in my life.
And I just pray this in the name of Jesus.
And pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
It feels
praise
good
the Lord.
Just to say it myself.
Yeah, you know? Man. The Lord is working.
I needed that. Yeah.
You know, we use the phrase Jesus is Lord a lot. And what does it mean to be Lord? It means that when we proclaim that Jesus is Lord, he becomes everything. He is the first, the foremost, the beginning, the end. He is the Lord of our life. And we can't allow any of these things that we've just surrendered to be Lord anymore. We can't allow Netflix to be the Lord of our life. We can't allow media or music to be our work. Our jobs can't be the Lord of our lives. Our extracurricular, our laziness, none of this can be the Lord of our life. Only Jesus Christ should be the Lord. And so whatever the Lord was convicting you of to cut out of your life, you know, I've seen a lot of young people. Patrick and I do youth ministry, and we see a lot of kids make these crazy decisions. I think because kids are like, they've got like a lot of burn up emotion inside of them. So it's more realistic for a young person, I think, to go into their bedroom and break all of their CDs, right? And to weed out the things in their life. Whereas adults seem to act kind of in a much slower way towards the gospel. And I want you to stir within you the youthfulness mm-hmm. that the Lord has given you. And I want you to act like a crazy teenager. And if there is something in your life, just get rid of it, right? If it's been there for year after year after year, you're the one that has to make the decision to break it and get rid of it. No one can make that decision for you. And chances are, if it's impacting your life like that, it's also having the same negative impact on your children's lives. And so when you break ties with that, whatever connection you have, when you break ties with that, you're giving freedom to your children for their future, because they're going to imitate you. And when they see you break ties, they're going to see the value of breaking ties in their own lives.
I just got this. The Holy Spirit just telling me that there's someone that's listening right now that has an alcohol problem that doesn't think it's a problem. Right now, if you are struggling with alcohol, we just pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit come and help you cut that off, that we break that addiction in the name of Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just want you to bring freedom to our listeners' lives. We're going to pray a prayer of freedom, all right? Because we believe that Jesus Christ brings us freedom. And we believe that freedom is the promise of the gospel, that Jesus promises that those who follow him will have a free and abundant life, a full and abundant life. And so whatever chains are holding us down, we're going to pray for freedom as we close today. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for freedom for us and for our listeners. We pray that you would give us the freedom that comes with life in the Spirit, that we would not be held down by our own insecurities, that we would not be held down by our own fears, our anxieties. We would not be held down by sin and addiction any longer, Lord. We would not be held down by depression and sadness and sorrow, Lord, but that you would give us the freedom and the joy that comes with life in Jesus Christ. We pray that you help us cut away anything that is not of you. Give us clarity of mind and heart, Lord, and show us the full and abundant life that you have promised us.
For freedom, Christ set us free. Father, I pray that no one would return to the old ways, that the old man was dead and buried in baptism, Lord, that we claim the identity that we have as sons and daughters of God, that no fear is greater than anything that God can do on our life. So, Father, we release in Jesus' name, not a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. Mm-hmm. So we just pray all these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming and joining us on Encounter Radio. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm here with Dan Demite. You can learn more about our show and how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience by visiting encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org.
All right. Thank you. God bless you all.